Tonight I'm reminded of the verse that talks about the foolishness of preaching. There are some subjects that, at our very best of trying to explain, we really can't even get a touch of what it really is. There's a verse in 2 Peter 3:1 that says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So I think sometimes, at our best, what we try to do is get a little grasp of what there is in the Scripture and be able to share it, that it stir up our minds by way of remembrance. Because I really have nothing new tonight. I wouldn't want to be the one to tell you if it was new. It's an old, I doubt if any scripture that I have tonight is one that we haven't heard before. But I believe there's something that we need to be reminded of tonight. I would like for us to look at time. It's something that, what would we do without the measurement of it? It's something that is involved in our life every day, the measurement of it. And where do we find where time began? We know in the beginning. Genesis 1 tells us where it was. But tonight, to really understand about time, I have a question. Was that really the beginning of all things? There was something that was before time began. There is eternity. And that is something that I just have to have faith to believe, because I cannot get a concept of what it is really. That the definition that they have for it, they won't even use the word time in trying to describe eternity, because they want to get your mind away from trying to measure it. It has no measurement. The definition for eternity was a duration, a continuance, without a beginning and without an end. Cannot be measured by time. And God dwells in eternity. The verse that I'm thinking of is Isaiah 57:15. Thus saith the high and lofty one, which inhabiteth eternity. Before time ever began, before the first day ever began, God dwelt in eternity. Had no beginning. I can't grasp that concept. Seems like everything that I know of has a beginning and it has an end. There was no beginning to eternity. There was no beginning to God. And there was something else out in eternity. Ephesians 1:4 says that he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So beyond my grasp of understanding is that there was a plan for my salvation before the world was ever created. There's another verse in Revelation 13:8. He was a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Back before Genesis 1:1, there was a God that dwelt in eternity. And when everything is wrapped up, eternity will still go on. It can't be eternity if it can begin or if it can end. And here we're trying to measure time. But I look at the verses that tell us he chose us before the foundation of the world. There's a song that I've heard sung before. While he was on the cross, I was on his mind. These scriptures tell me I was on his mind before the world was created. There was a plan way back there, a concept that I cannot grasp. But I need to get a hold to it. I need to try to ask the Lord to help me to start grasping it. Because this first part of it, before the world was created, it's going to continue on after the world comes to an end. And it has no beginning and no ending. The human mind really cannot comprehend it. But I'd like to go take a look at it. Because in eternity, if I could say it this way, God carved out a little section, a very small section, and he called it time. Let's look at the first chapter, first verse. Because we will hear, young people, you will hear that we have found a fossil, and it's 50 million years old. Well, we just need to have faith, because Hebrews tells us without faith it's going to be impossible to please God. Just a quiet understanding. Here's where it began. It began with the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And on down it says in the third verse, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was good. He divided the light from the darkness. It says he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Here is where time began. But before time, eternity had stretched out. You couldn't have measured it. But then he stopped and said, okay, I'm going to create the world. We feel like it's been here forever. To us, 70 years is a huge length of time. Sometimes we'll say it seems like an eternity when we're going through. We have no concept of what eternity really is. But I look at this, and we need to have faith to believe there was a day. There was in eternity, God stopped, created the world, and time began. You really can't measure it on a timeline. You can't measure eternity. It kind of warns us, don't even try to put time on eternity, to try to measure it. And in the 14th verse of that first, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. Have you ever sat down quiet sometime and try to make out a list of things that you need to be thankful for? We can look around at nature. I'm thankful for it, for family, for a lot of things. Have you ever been thankful that God helped someone to come up with a calendar? What would our life be without one? If every day you woke up and it was just like another day, there was no separation, how would we know what day we're going to meet together for meeting? Time. And it is so important to us that if there are people in a shipwreck and they may know that they'll never be rescued, but there is something that is so valuable to them, as soon as they can get to shore, they will try to get something and mark down, okay, it was Tuesday when we had the shipwreck, it is now Saturday, and if I have to notch a tree, I want to keep track of time. I want to be able to know what day it is. It's a great value to be able to know time. Our watches, our clocks, we're enmeshed with it. Tomorrow morning, I need to be at work at 8 o'clock. Time is so important in our lives. I can go down at the first of the year and buy a calendar for $5. Sometimes they'll give it to you. And you know what? We can almost get the feeling that with that, I bought this next year. Because I can flip the pages. It has 12 of them on there, January through December. In fact, at work, we will, through the year, write in. I plan on taking vacation for Monarch on this third week in July. We plan on going to Clinton's next week, and we write it in as if we have bought time. Because we're just so used to it being right here around us. And I plan to do something at this time because I'm so used to it. But there's a verse, because there's a great danger in that. Because in the middle of all this, God warns us, your life is a vapor. It could end so quick. And then there's eternity. This that I cannot grasp at the beginning, before the world was ever created, also extends on the other end of it just as long. And I need to get a concept of that. The other day we were coming home from work and came by the Covell exit. And there was a helicopter on the exit there. Had a wreck. Found out later that it was the pastor of maybe a Baptist church there in Edmond, had been riding a motorcycle. It was a beautiful day. Perfect day if you like riding a motorcycle, that would be the day for it. And he exited there. And when he did, he hit sand and was thrown off of it. And his life ended. Time ended for him. Just in a click. And they were telling us about how that evening, it was on a Wednesday, that evening people of his congregation have not even heard it yet. And now they come into the Wednesday evening service to say, "Pastor's gone. Time has ended for him." So there's a verse as we try to take a look at time, because as we try to get a little picture of it, a warning flag comes up. As I start seeing about time, I need to realize my end is near. As I measure time, because really for most of us here, for several of us here, we have probably gone over the 50% of the allotted time. We see where it talks about 80. If we counted that as our time, we've probably passed up the 50% mark. And then accidents happen and things that cut it way shorter than that. And it's going to be so important for me to realize time can go from me so quick. And then it will be eternity. So I have a verse in Romans 13:1. "And knowing the time, that it is high time to wake out of sleep." If I have a concept of time compared to eternity, I need to shake myself. I need to live every day as if it were my last. Because the funeral home and the cemetery is not the end of it. In fact, it's almost just the beginning of it, if you could measure time. There's another verse. Ephesians 5:15-16. "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." It says to redeem, to buy up, to rescue, to recover our time from waste. And you know, I can go along, and it feels like all of my life, there's been time. It stretches out ahead of me and seems as if it will always continue. But it will come to an end one day. And what I must realize is something else extends on, and that is eternity. I have something that I'd like to write on the board just to help us to think about it. And if you would sing number 328, the first and the second verse, please. When I look at this drawing, eternity stretches out with no end on either end. But then creation is where it first came off and time began. If we would look at that, we have had maybe 6,000 years or so up until now. There, I would like for us to look at a verse in Psalms 90. Because whenever I start looking at God dwelling in eternity, compared to what I thought was a long time of 70 years, I start seeing a vast difference. Psalms 90:1, it says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. The psalmist, here in Psalms, he got a concept. God, you have been from everlasting to everlasting. Before these mountains were formed, you were. When all this is gone, you will be. It goes on down in the 10th verse. It says, the days, when the 9th, it says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. When I looked in the commentary on this, it said that it's interpreted our thought pattern. How quickly we move from one thought pattern to another. And just, we can be thinking about this and all of a sudden our thoughts move over to this. This next verse says, the days of our year are 70. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. 70 years to a young person seems like eternity because we have no concept of what eternity is. But to all of us, we need to realize we're fast approaching this other end. You know, we face, 2 Peter 3 tells us that there's people that say, you know what, we've been hearing about the end of time for a long time and it's never happened. But he said, don't let that shake you, because a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. It's coming. So if we were to put, let's say that the end will not come for a long time, but we put in this 6,000-year time span up until now, if we would put our life in there and try to mark it on the timeline, it would almost be a little dot. If I lived for 70 years, and many people are taken shorter than that. So what it does, it warns me, Dan, stay prepared. Because it seems like if I could just live to 70, that's going to be great. That's a long time. Many people are living their life as if it's all about here. You will see people plan for retirement as if there's no eternity. I'll live here forever. We'll hear them talking about, and it's okay to set back some money for when you retire. Don't set your heart on it, because you will soon be out in eternity. Everyone will be. There is one thing that does not end when time ends, and that's my soul. I would like to look at a couple verses. Genesis, the 2nd chapter. Because we can get so wrapped up in temporal things that it seems like success is when I have accumulated some more temporal things. But temporal things are going to be gone before very long, and this is going to be the only thing that is left. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We look at when time began, when he created the earth. Look at when the soul began, when he breathed into him life, and he became a living soul. And from there, each one of us have it. And there's another place in Ecclesiastes, in the 12th chapter, it starts giving us some verses, giving us the other end of my time span. Maybe at the end of the 70 years as they start drawing close. And as we age, we start seeing some of these become real. And it comes on down in the 7th verse. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And to many people, they feel like that's the end of it, right there. Died like an animal, and it's all over. But there's one more piece here. And the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That's what is going to last forever. So it really doesn't matter on a time chart when the end will be. We have verses that tell us. I was thinking about the one in Revelations 10:6. I had read it recently. Said that John, his vision of it was, there'll be an angel that'll stand with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and he will declare that time will be no more. We read about it when in song number 409, where he said, I stood at the time-beaten portals where many a pilgrim had passed, standing at a cemetery, looking at this life that is closed out. And he got a vision of eternity and how much greater, how much bigger it is than time. We're going to return our spirit to the one who gave it. And it's going to be so valuable for each one of us to get a concept of we're surrounded, we're inundated with people that only live in time, have no concept. They say you need to be successful, you need to put your all into it. It's okay to work 7 days a week to be successful. They're living in time. The Christian needs to start measuring against eternity, to measure everything against eternity. And it ends in this 12th chapter saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That starts bringing it down real close to me tonight. My deeds and my thoughts of today have been added to the mix that have determined if I draw one more breath and I'm gone, my destiny is sealed. That becomes kind of serious because I always think I've got tomorrow. I can take care of it tomorrow. I can clear up things down the road. But right at this instant, it is determined if you draw your last breath right now, where will you spend eternity? Now, should we continue to live tomorrow, we can make adjustments for the better or for the worse. I can be saved today. I can make choices tomorrow that lead me away from God. And if I died now, we see that in Ezekiel, where it says, when he turns, all those good that he had done will not be remembered. It also says to the one that has been sinning, at the day that he will turn, all the wickedness that he has done will not be remembered. That is, if a change is made. If we tonight breathed one more breath, it's already determined where we'll spend eternity, by the deeds and the actions that I have done up to this second. Now there is mercy from the Lord to give me another day to make adjustments. But what I wanted to bring to us is what a carefulness we need to have. Because here's a verse of a song. All our words and thoughts are to him fully known. You don't have a clue what I think unless I take it into action. All our words and thoughts are to him fully known. We shall surely reap the deeds that we have sown. From thy holy presence we can never flee, for the day and the night are both the same with thee. I would like to say to us each one, beware of secret things. The devil would like for us each one to get into a place where no one knows, God knows, and eternity is out ahead. And the things that I think, and I can come to church and make you think something different than that of me, God is taking those thoughts. He's taking those actions. I cannot go to another town somewhere and you don't know where it is, and I can sin and come back here and everything's going to be fine. He has recorded it. And I'm living in time, but I'm headed for eternity with no end. And he's tried to give us a description of eternity on the other side. I always kind of thought of it as everything began in Genesis 1. It didn't. It was just a little piece that was carved out of eternity. And we call it time. And my, we put so much into it. It's as if sometimes that I'm going to live forever. I can get so wrapped up in it. And he allows us to have temporal things. He allows me to work a job, but he would love for us, everyone, to get a grasp of eternity. This 70 years, should God give it to me, is such a small section compared to eternity. Because when you get to thinking about eternity, don't measure it in time. It can't be measured in time. Time is only from the period where the earth was created and the earth comes to an end. And sometimes we can measure success we look around us at someone. It was done back in the Bible. Remember, there was a certain rich man that he had fine clothes and he fared sumptuously every day. You know, folks could look on him and say, that is a success. There was also a man that was laid out at his gate, a beggar. I would look at that. We would look at that in our time and say, that's a failure. God didn't see it that way. When we measure success, it's only because we're looking at time instead of eternity. When we say success is the things that you have accumulated, the nice house that we live in, it's because we have not measured it against eternity. There is a verse, as I start getting a good view of it, there's a verse that the Christian will start using. Ecclesiastes 8 and 12 says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I know it's going to be well with them that fear God. Maybe the beggar had that verse. Maybe he said, you know what, it's okay if in this life there are others that have everything and I have nothing, because I know it's going to be well with them that fear God. Moses got a hold to it. Back in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, because he had an opportunity to be successful in this life. In 11 and 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect to the recompense of the reward. I need to have that as my testimony. I need to have respect to the recompense of the reward. The value that it's going to be for me to live a careful life here and make heaven my home in the end. Because now I'm pulling away from what this world has to offer. Right now there's a lot of people that see, if I can just have a pile of money saved up on the day I retire. How many times have we seen that happen? And they retire, and shortly, very shortly, they're called out into eternity. And all that is left. I want to be more careful for myself. And what it takes is us asking God, Lord, open up eternity to me, the concept of it a little bit. Because as a human, I can only measure it by time, and it cannot be measured by time. When I go out of here, when I leave here, there will be no end to where I spend eternity. There was also a group of people in Hebrews 11, in the 13th verse. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them, they embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly, they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Every one of us today have an opportunity to switch back. We have an opportunity tomorrow to go follow the world and take it on. If we do it, it will only be because I lost the concept of eternity and the value of the seriousness of eternity. Because these said, they desire a better country. I have gotten a glimpse of eternity and what it's going to mean to make heaven my home, because there'll be no end to it. Just like there's no end on the other end of it before this world was created, we understand by faith that there'll be no end to the other one. And for every person that has been born since time began, it's one of two places. In this life, I have so many choices that it seemed like it's not possible in anything that I could be down to just two. But we are. Everyone, when they go out into eternity, it's either heaven or hell. And so for us that have a knowledge, I believe the devil would like to get us to thinking too much about time. I believe sometime the Lord would like for us to pull back and start asking the Lord, open my eyes to eternity, to the length of it. I can't comprehend the length of it. It can't be measured in length, but it's out there. There is a place also in 2 Corinthians where this will help us. 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How can that be? How can that be possible when there are people that say, I'll give everything if you can extend my life another week? All my money I will give if you can give me another day. Here is someone that says, even though my outward man is perishing, and ours are, it's going down, the inward man can be renewed day by day. And that can be done as I realize this life is coming to an end. Time is going to close out for me, and then it will be eternity. And I'm going to spend my time preparing for that place. And Paul has been able to do that. And he even came to the place that he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How is that possible? If I wrap myself in time, and this is where it all is, I'm going to do everything I can to get to stay. But he says, this light affliction, it's but for a moment. He must have somehow got a concept that this life, should my affliction last for 70 years, it's but a moment when I measure it against eternity. When we start measuring things against eternity, the scope will become clear then. It says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Something that goes beyond time, when time for me has stopped. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, these things around us that have a draw to us, that we feel like, I've got to get this, it's so important. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Folks, I tell you, I believe we all need to keep heaven in view. Let the decisions that I make every day be based on, Lord, I want to make heaven. I need you to send into my life today whatever I need to be able to make heaven my home. Because here it said, we don't look at the things that are seen. I'm looking at the results, the things that are not seen. I'm looking at what this could produce in my life to help me make heaven my home in the end. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'd like to look at one more place here in Luke. And we have read this a lot of times, but I'd like for us, when we read it this time, to take a look at the timeline for this. In the 19th verse of the 16th chapter, this rich man and Lazarus, it says there was. Now, we can put a timeline to this. This must have happened sometime before it, because Jesus is saying there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. There also was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. But as will happen with every one of us here tonight, time passes and the end comes. It says, it came to pass, the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. How do we measure success? What was the rich man's funeral like? What was the beggar's funeral like? Maybe the friends of the rich man, got together and told about all of his accomplishments. And you know, really, we don't see any place in here that talks about him being an evil man, as far as, I got my wealth through killing people or taking from people. So what would his funeral have been like? A successful man. But 1 second after his life comes to a close, things change. And folks, we're not able to comprehend what it's like. To me, there may be other passages in the Bible that are clearer, but to me, there's not another place that I know of in the Bible that gives us a better description of what I can expect on the other side than this one. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. being in torments. And he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So I don't have a line in here that needs to be added. Where it says eternity, there's a division in there. There's a line that needs to put that in two places. Because there's heaven and there's hell. And there's also something else that we can pick up from this. I'll be able to see from one to the other. I'll be able to see from hell to heaven. Will not be able to do anything from heaven to hell. Part of the punishment for having missed it. It says, being in torments, he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. See, we are only able to live in time. And it seems like I'll live forever. When this man breathed his last, he stepped out into eternity that we're told don't even try to measure it with time. Now we can measure it up until now because time continues. He has been there for something above 2,000 years that we can measure. But it's not even measurable because 2,000 years won't even start to measure eternity that he will be there. This is why we each one need to walk with a carefulness, realizing this is not all there is. Life is not all there is. There is something that is so much more important, something that extends so much farther. You remember there was Psalm 73. It says, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Have you felt it? Have you looked around and it seems like the saints are so oppressed? We got troubles on every side. Things are happening. And we can look out at the world and it seems like life is going so well. This happened to him. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said there are no bands in their death. Seems like life is going great. But it goes on and it says, when I thought to know this, it was just too painful for me. Until, like tonight, we go into the sanctuary. And then understood I their end. You have surely set their feet in slippery places. And folks, tonight for us each one, that we would go from here and just ask the Lord, remind me, help me to not get caught up in this world and my plans for 3 months from now. Because we're reminded on a constant basis, my life's a vapor. It's going to go sometime, and then it will be eternity. There was that verse of a song that says, a shudder came over my spirit when I thought what a moment might cost. For us to realize that through my life, what a moment of walking away from God can cost me. Folks are seeing it, and it's dangerous. But I don't want to be like Peter was, and I spend my time looking at John, what he's going to do. I need to focus on myself and say, Lord, help me. I want to walk in a way that if you call for me tomorrow, if I draw my last breath now, I've taken care of everything. And really, we're going to have a concept of eternity to be able to do that. Or we're going to get wrapped up in time. The only thing that we know of, because it's been in my little 53 years, it's involved in every part of my life. Every appointment that we have, coming to service, it all revolves around time. And it seems like it's something that I'm going to have forever. But if we could all realize this is at its most, if the earth should go on for 2,000 more years, and we then have from creation to the end 8,000 years, it don't matter. Because every one of us will be in this timeline here, and we could mark it over to where it was from creation and put our little span. You know, you look on the marker on a tombstone, and maybe that person has lived 100 years. You see the beginning date, the ending date, and everything between there is that little bitty dash. Now, you would think that people would hang on that tombstone a plaque or something that would say, that dash means all these things, all of the accomplishments. We see sometimes that behind somebody's name, it tells what all they have the doctorates, the degrees that they have. You don't see that at a cemetery, because it tells us the day he was born, the day he died. Because you know what? The day he died, the way he was then, is what matters. So I want to walk with a carefulness. There's another verse in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. It says, I have set before thee life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. For each one of us, as we go from here, and you know, if we live for 3 years, we will need what 2 Peter said. We'll need to be reminded again. We need to be on a continual basis. And what I need to do is occasionally just stop things, get real quiet, and ask the Lord, would you bring back into perspective for me time against eternity? I desire your prayers.